And now take your Bibles, please, and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I think it's always good to start out a new year with a good, positive attitude. And I think the Bible has that principle for us, Philippians 2. And we'll begin reading in just a moment, verses 3 through 8. And I want to remind you that I'm not talking about some kind of possibility thinking here, where you have some kind of positive confession, and because of that, there's some of those guys on television that if you have what is called a positive confession, then you're supposed to get it. You just automatically get it. And this is not what we're not talking about, the Benny Hinn stuff, all right? Does everybody understand that? Not all of these things are what you imagine is what's going to happen. But a biblical principle that is listed for us here, the attitude that really wins. Considering tonight our attitude and how important that attitude is. Philippians chapter 2, and we begin reading at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Some of you have flown little planes, maybe bigger planes, I don't know, but they have something that they talk about when they discuss attitude flying. Attitude flying. And they have an attitude, what we would call an attitude indicator. And so that tells you about the position of the airplane in relationship to the horizon. And so as you look at that instrument, you know you could be nose high, and that's not necessarily good, or you could be nose down, diving. You have to be very careful that you have that attitude leveled up the way that it should be if you're not going to crash. And attitude indicates the performance that you're going to have out of that airplane. It's sort of like the way you drive your car depends on how much gas mileage you're going to get. But this has to do with how you fly the plane and get the best performance out of it. Attitude flying. What about our attitude? Is it important? And what is our manual? Pilots have manuals. We have a manual, don't we? And there's the manual. You have the Word of God. That is the manual. We also have, and I mentioned that first, the perfect example of the right attitude, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the perfect example of the right attitude. First, we see that he is selfless. Look back in verses 3 and 4. He says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's Jesus speaking, telling us how to do it. Selflessness. And then in verse 4, look not every man on his own things. Don't be self-centered and selfish. You got to take care of your own things. But every man also, what? On the things of others. Don't just be looking at yourself all the time. That'll get you in trouble. But be thinking about other people. That's selflessness. And then security in verses 6 and 7. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. He wasn't afraid to do that. He had confidence that as who he was, knowing that was going to be the right thing to do and that the Father was going to bless that. In verse 8 tells us he was submissive. He was selfless, secure, and submissive. Verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to whom? Obedient to the Father. That's the only one he could have been basically obedient to. Obedient unto death. And that death was the death on the cross. And so we have the perfect example of Christ who had the right attitude and showed us the kind of attitude we need to have as we start out a new year. And Paul reminds us of some of these things. For instance, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're very familiar with those verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. But now listen to this statement. But be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. It's up here. A lot of it's up here between the ears. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. David mentioned something about that in Psalm 34, 1 through 3. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. David said, let's have a humble attitude and we'll exalt God. And we know that that's what Paul was talking about. And David's attitude, even though he was surrounded with problems, he had the right attitude. He, first of all, it begins with your will. Look at it again, Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord. What does it mean? I choose to bless the Lord. It's our will. We have choices. We can either have the right attitude or we can have the wrong attitude. And so he said, I will. And then it flows to the emotions in verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And he talks about it, the praise would be in his mouth. That's part of that. And then that praise spreads to others. It's going to go to others. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He says, I want to magnify the Lord. So it begins with a will. It flows into our emotions, our heart. And then that praise spreads. And so we have our attitude. We have the performance of that attitude. And we have the praise that comes out of that attitude. Or we could say we have worship from that. Now, what is attitude? What are we talking about when I say, how's your attitude? And we discuss attitude. What are we talking about? It's the inward feeling expressed by a behavior. An inward feeling that we have that is expressed by how we act, by our behavior. For instance, if you see a little child pouting, might be your husband or wife, I don't know, but if you see somebody pouting, you know that down on the inside, they're sulking on the inside. And it just comes out on the outside. That's what's going on. It's an attitude. If you see somebody that has a jutted jaw, you know that that person has something on their mind. And they are determined that they're going to have their way no matter what. It's part of it. So all of these things we wear our expressions probably that people notice more than anything else, and that's one of the most important things. Our outward actions are a window into the soul. The way you act tells other people what's going on in your soul. And you may not realize that, but it's true. And that can be body language. It can be the way you handle your body language. It can be facial expression. I often say, and you've heard me say it before, I wish some of you would sit up here and see what I see while a lot of people are singing and they're just smiling, they're praising God, and some are looking at the lights and counting, well, we don't have brick, but they're counting the chairs, or they find something to look at. They just stern and they look like, man, you know, I just swallowed the dill pickle, or my mother-in-law visited too long or something. They just seem like they're not happy. And that tells you probably that they are not. Facial expressions. I know there are some people that just can't smile, I guess. But most people can smile if they will to smile. But this negative stuff is contagious. It sort of has a way of wiggling its way out, doesn't it? It's down in there, and it just sort of wiggles its way out. It's just going to come out, and other people are going to see that. If you're depressed, they're going to know it. If you're proud, they're going to see it. It wiggles its way out. What we need to do is have obedience on the inside so that we express the right thing on the outside. We don't need to be like a little 4-year-old boy whose mother told him, "Now you sit in that chair right now. Sit down right now." And he said to his mother, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." How many of you can relate to that? You got a 4-year-old or have had. Yeah, you know what that's all about. And so a lot of us are the very same way. And we have to be careful. A bad attitude is a dreaded disease. It's a bad thing to have in our lives. It causes a closed mind, and it can cause a very dark future for you if you have a negative, bad attitude. So, why is your attitude important? Why is it important? Now, I'm going to give you some words, and what word describes what will determine our happiness, our acceptance, our peace, and our success? Our happiness, acceptance, peace, and success. What word is going to determine those things, or any one of them, or a combination of all of them? Number one, our job. Would it be your job that'll cause that? Number two, would it be money? Some people think it would be money. Would it be money? Others, would it be education? Would it be education that would bring you this pleasure and all of those good things? Some, would it be time? I want to submit to you that I believe one of the main things, and probably the most important thing, would be attitude. Attitude. It determines our approach to life. How we're going to approach Monday morning, the rest of our life. I illustrate that by telling you the story of two buckets. Just imagine about these buckets. One is an optimist bucket, and one is a pessimistic bucket. And so the empty bucket is approaching the well, and the empty bucket would say something like this: "There's never been a life as disappointing as mine. I never come away from the well full, but what I return empty." That's one way to look at it. And then here's the full bucket, and the full bucket is leaving the well, and the full bucket says, "There's never been such a happy life as mine. I never come to the well empty, but what I go away full again." Which one of those is the better? The latter one is the better. Amen? And it has to do with attitude. Attitude. It reminds me, I think I've shared this with you before, but I like it, so let me tell about it again. The story is about a grandpa and all of his staying there with his grandkids, and he was taking his afternoon nap, and he had one of these big mustaches. And so the kids thought they would have a little fun and play a trick on him. And the kids put Limburger cheese on his mustache. How many of you know what Limburger cheese is and how awful it smells? And he woke up. And when he woke up, Grandpa woke up, he said, "This room stinks." And then he went into the kitchen, and he got in the kitchen, he said, "The kitchen stinks too." Finally, he decided to walk outside, and when he got outside, he said, "The whole blooming world stinks." You know some Baptists like that, some Christians like that? Just seem like, as far as they're concerned, the whole world stinks. Do you feel your world is treating you well? Well, I know some of the worldliness certainly isn't. But an excellent attitude will bring excellent results. A so-so attitude will bring average results, and a bad attitude will bring negative results. I believe we ought to have some positive attitudes in our church, so that it'll help our church accomplish and do what God wants us to do, and to have a good, clear testimony for the glory of God. And if we're not careful, we'll build our own prison of discontent. It's a horrible prison to be in a prison of discontent, unhappy and unsatisfied about life and what's going on in your life. It's a very difficult thing. Galatians 6:7 says we reap what we sow. And so if we have that attitude, that's what we're going to sow. Now, we cannot tailor make our circumstances. I wish we could, but we can't. I don't always get to choose my circumstances, do you? Sometimes they're not really what I want. I really don't get to choose them. They are not what I would have chosen, but they're what God allowed in my life. Paul was often in prison. He could not help his circumstances, but he could have joy in his circumstances. And one of the prison epistles he wrote in Philippians 4:4, these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." You mean while you're in prison, Paul, rejoice? Yes. It's an attitude of the heart and mind toward that. We cannot tailor make our circumstances, but listen now, we can tailor make our attitude. We have the right to tailor make and determine our attitude, and I think it's a learned behavior and one that we're given if we allow it to be given by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God will lead us into a positive attitude. So not only our approach to life, but second, it determines our relationship to people. Our attitude determines our relationship to people. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. We need to do it to them. If you want people to be friendly to you, be friendly to them. Amen? If you want to be nice to you, be nice to them. Stanford Research Institute did a research paper, and they said the money that you make is determined by a couple of different things that they point out. 12.5% is determined by knowledge, how much you know. Only 12.5%. And 87.5%, they determine 87.5% of the ability to have money or to succeed was how you deal with other people. If you deal with other people. Have you ever had a waitress at a restaurant that was mean as a junkyard dog? Most of us have. That's the ones you really tip, right? We ate at a restaurant today, and I said to my wife, that lady is so nice. She was so gracious to us. I want to come back. And the manager came by and delivered. We're at the point where we just order one meal and divide it, you know. I know some of you are too proud to do that, but we're not. It saves money, plus it helps on the calories. So he came by and he said, who's cutting this? He said, are you going to do it? To my wife, are you going to do it? I said, she's going to do it. He said, you need a tape measure? I said, no, not at all. She'll be almost fair about it if she'll do it. But we need to, our attitude needs to be a good attitude. I enjoyed that. I'll probably go back there and eat again. And I don't like to go where the attitude is bad. But listen to what Teddy Roosevelt said. The most important single ingredient to the formula of success is knowing how to get along with people. Knowing how to get along with people. J. Paul Getty said, and he was asked what was the most important quality for a successful executive. This was his reply. It doesn't make much difference how much other knowledge or experience an executive possesses. If he is unable to achieve results through people, he is worthless as an executive. You got to be a people person. You got to be able to love people and have the right attitude toward people in order to have a good testimony and to influence people. There was a sign at a service station that somebody read one day, and it had up the top of it, why customers quit. Why customers quit. 1% quit because they die. 3% move away. 5% have other friendships. 9% competitive reasons, price, 14% product dissatisfaction, but 68% said the attitude of indifference toward them was why they left that business. And so it's so important for us to say to people that are visitors, we're glad you're here. And you know what we have a tendency to do is our little group, not a clique, but a group, and that's all, that's normal, that happens. Some people get together and they just it's natural. But sometimes we need to quit just looking at each other and look around. If you see somebody that looks like a visitor or something, go up and introduce yourself to them. And if they get mad at you and say, look, I was a member here before you came. I remember when you joined. Then don't let it bother you. Just get acquainted with them, amen? And be friendly to one of the greatest factors of a church to help a church reach the lost and the saved is be friendly. We don't ever want to have, as we used to use the term in Rayville, Louisiana, a stuck-up church. Amen? We want to have a God-fearing church that has the right attitude, and our attitude determines our relationship to people. Let me give you a challenge, and do this week, and then some of you report to me later and tell me what you found out about it. For 1 week, just 1 week, I want you to treat everyone you meet as the most important person on earth. Now let me say that again. For 1 week, I want you to treat everyone you meet, as the most important person on earth. And then next Sunday, would you tell me next Sunday night how it went? And try. How many of you tried? Don't raise your hand. I challenge you to try. Let it sink in. Let me say it one more time. For 1 week, just 1 week, treat everyone you meet as the most important person on earth. The most important person on earth, no matter where it is. And I can tell you the result will be they'll treat you the same way. Then a third thing, very quickly. Thirdly, often our attitude is the only difference in success or failure. We need an AQ instead of just an IQ. We need an attitude quotient, which is as important as an intelligence quotient. There's a little difference in most people, but that makes a big difference. Our attitude makes a difference. The poet said, two men looked through prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. It depends on what you're looking for in your life. Number four, fourthly, our attitude at the beginning of a task, when you start out, will affect its outcome more than anything else. The attitude when you start the task will affect the outcome of that task more than anything else. We use the term, all's well that ends well. We should use the term, all's well that begins well. And we need to begin our year with the right attitude in every category of our life. We need to do that. In matter of witnessing, we ought to be eager witnesses for the glory of God. You know, people, I believe, out there, and we think they're not, but they're people who are hungry for the gospel. They want a positive change in their life. They know something's out of kilter. They know something's wrong. They just need somebody to go tell them, and yet we're reluctant to witness to those people. We'll say something like this, people aren't interested, they don't want to be bothered, so I'm just not going to talk to him, I'm just not going to talk to her. And that's not a good attitude. We should all be witnesses and tell people about Christ. Reminds me of the story of two shoe salesmen. And they were sent to an island to sell shoes. One of them sent a telegram back and said, we'll be home tomorrow. No one here wears shoes. I'll be home tomorrow. The other sent a telegram, said, send 10,000 pairs of shoes. Everyone here needs them. They're all running around barefooted. And so it's a matter of how you look at things and how you look at life. All of those things. Fifthly, our attitude can turn our problems into blessings. Just your attitude can turn your problems into blessings. Did you know that a kite rises highest with a stiff wind? And many times that's what it takes for us to rise higher. Criticism is something none of us like, but sometimes criticism helps us rise higher. And we have those things that come. Our attitude can turn things, problems into blessings. Abraham Lincoln had to go through the Civil War, but that revealed his true character. And Abraham Lincoln was a great man. You may not agree with everything he did, but he was a great leader and a great man. In one of the worst times in our whole United States and all that was done, this man was a great leader. If you hadn't read the book Killing Lincoln, I'd advise you to read it. It's a good one. And then John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And we say, well, he just wrote that, and that was easy for him to do. No, he was in the Bedford jail when he wrote it. And most of us would know that that's one of the greatest classics that we have. What about Joseph? Joseph went through all kinds of problems, but he had the right attitude toward those problems. He kept his eyes and mind on Almighty God, and did he rise to the top or not? He absolutely rose to the top. Number six. Our attitude can give us an uncommonly positive outlook. If you have the right attitude, it'll give you an uncommonly, not just the normal, but an uncommonly positive outlook. Think about David and Goliath. Remember that story? Everybody does. And David's brothers were saying, David, what are you doing here? That giant is too big for us to kill. David said, I got news for you, bro. Let me tell you something. I have news for you. That giant's too big to miss. Stand back and watch me and see what God can do. You see, we have a positive outlook and we can do it. And David says, he's so big I can't miss him. An elevator operator on Monday was humming in the elevator. And he was just having a good time in the Lord and humming a song. And the man was so mad and irritated. He said, what are you so happy about? And he said, well, sir, I ain't never lived this day before. Amen. And so think about that tomorrow. And when you start out, you say, I ain't never lived this day before. And live it to the glory of God with a good, proper attitude. And that'll be something that'll help us out. Seventh, I only have 30 of these, so hang on. Seventh, our attitude is not automatically good just because we're Christians. Oh, boy, hear that one. Our attitude is not necessarily good just because we're Christians. Some Christians had terrible attitudes. The seven deadly sins that have to do with attitude are these: pride, attitude; covetousness, attitude; lust, attitude; anger, attitude; envy, attitude; gluttony, move right on quickly; sloth, attitude. All of that has to do with attitude. And so we have to realize that even though we're Christians, that doesn't guarantee we're going to have the right attitude. You remember the story of the prodigal son? And there were a couple of boys in that home, weren't there? And we think about when the prodigal came home, boy, his daddy was happy and everybody was happy. But his elder brother had a bad attitude. Why, you never did that for me, daddy. You never treated me like that. You're favoring my sister. You're favoring my brother. You're favoring somebody else. You never did that for me. And he was filled with self-pity. Actually, two prodigals. One had the sins of the flesh, and the other had the sin of a bad attitude. And both of them were wrong. Both of them were wrong. The prodigal was wrong when he did what he did, but he got it right and came home. The elder brother had a real problem, the sin of attitude. And so Paul gives us those instructions back in Philippians 2. He talks about in verse 3, our motive, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. So much of what we do is for vain glory. It's for glory for ourselves. And then others should be more important. He says that in verse 3. Esteem others better than themselves. Don't just be self-centered and selfish. We need to die to self every day. Verse 4, he talks about the interests of others in that verse. In verse 6, Christ recognized his sonship. But he also realized in that sonship that he was to obey the Father. And he had a right attitude about it. I am to do the will of the Father. And we need to possess Christ's attitude, verses 6 through 8, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. No reputation, a servant. Made in the likeness of men and became obedient. Obedient to the Heavenly Father, and he fulfilled his Father's purpose, and thank God he did. We need to have a right attitude. May I say to you tonight that until you get saved, you're never really going to quite ever be able to pull that off. The right attitude comes from a right relationship with Jesus Christ first. First you get saved. First you are born again. You come to Christ, you're born again. He puts a new nature in you that gives you the possibility, along with the presence of the Holy Spirit, to choose to have the right attitude. If you want to be negative and not enjoy life and be miserable, listen, what good does it do to worry about anything? It doesn't do any good. I heard a message this morning, I think it was Dr. Stanley was preaching while I was getting ready, and I heard him say, if you don't know what to do, watch the birds. Be a bird watcher. Well, that's biblical, isn't it? Consider the birds. Look at them. They don't toil. They don't, they just don't worry about anything. They're not worried about bills. They're not worried about anything. I'm not saying you shouldn't pay your bills, but I'm just saying, what good does it do you to worry about anything and to be negative and always, what's going to happen tomorrow? Am I going to have cancer? What's going to happen to my children? Are they going to have a wreck? What's going to happen here? Is the baby going to be born all right? This and that and the other. Is the church going to make it? We're going to have the finances. What's going to happen? Does that help? It doesn't help one whit. But a good, positive attitude, faith, letting the Holy Spirit control our lives, going on, moving forward, doing what God tells us to do, taking a servant's heart, having the right attitude, not being depressed, discouraged, down, all of those things all the time, but being happy in Jesus and letting others know we're glad we're saved. I know there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, I know that. But there should be that attitude that is a good attitude before Almighty God. That's what Paul was saying here, I think, in Philippians. How are you going to start out this year? Negative, bad attitude, worried? Or are you going to turn your burdens over to the Lord tonight, come to Him, give Him praise, and ask Him maybe to give you an attitude adjustment? I don't know. God knows what we need. Amen. Let's stand, please. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I pray you bless this message to our hearts. Help us to have a good, biblical, positive attitude based upon the Word of God. And Father, we thank you that we can be happy Christians, rejoicing in all circumstances, rejoicing in the Lord, having a good testimony, and showing others who Christ is in our life. In His name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing if you